Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Hello and welcome to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. We conclude this week's week-long recognition and celebration of International Women's Day on the show today. Joining me on the phone here today is Sarah Drummond. She's the inspector with Wood Buffalo RCMP. Sarah, how are you doing here today?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us here today on the show. What made you want to become a member of the RCMP?
I think what attracted me to the RCMP were the opportunities that it provided. I'll be honest, I think I hit a point when I was younger that I wasn't sure what I wanted to do when I grew up, and the RCMP offered the opportunity of several different jobs. I could live anywhere in Canada and sort of opened the door for me to experience all those opportunities.
So what does a typical day look like for an inspector for the Wood Buffalo RCMP?
I'm the operations support officer here in Wood Buffalo. So that means that I oversee several different sections. So my day can be different all the time depending on what's happening, and that's pretty typical with policing. But I oversee the forensic ident section, our police dog section, traffic, community policing, our Indigenous liaison, and our member services sections, and also our training section. So my day-to-day is always different and dynamic, which always keeps it very interesting.
That's good to hear. What do you love most about being a member of the RCMP?
I think my favorite part still is the challenge and the adventure, and also the opportunity to work with people. Over my career, I've been able to live in four different provinces. I was able to do a mission overseas in Ukraine. So I've worked and met a lot of wonderful people over the years, and that still continues, which is my favorite part.
Yeah, about that police mission in Ukraine. What could you tell us about that particular mission?
So I went to Ukraine in 2016 as part of the Canadian police mission in Ukraine. The mission was set up, it was an agreement with the Canadian government and the Ukraine government to go over and help train their new police service. So I was lucky enough to get selected to go on that. My specialty while I was there was developing and delivering training on gender-based crimes, domestic abuse, and also policing vulnerable people.
How do you feel that police mission went? Were there any signs of improvement in the region after the mission?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we get to meet the police officers there at the time. They're facing a lot of adversity, but they were still keen to learn and change and learn different methods and understand different methods of policing. I saw a change and a growth with them and an energy and enthusiasm with their new police service. And also, I had the opportunity to learn from them as well.
That's great to hear. Back to home now. What could you tell me about the work the RCMP does in terms of gender equality?
So in thinking about this question, I think what I'd like to talk about specifically in Wood Buffalo, we have, in the last 4 years since I've been at this detachment, we've really focused on providing a better sort of wraparound client service to some more like particular gender-based crimes. We have developed a specialized section, SIU, which is Specialized Investigation Unit. We do have in-house victim services here, and we are working closely with the Child Advocacy Center here. So just for an example, we are able to sort of deliver a better level of service in this community than in some other places by working with our partners and to have this level of service and have these specialized units available for our clients.
Are there any initiatives or programs within the RCMP aimed at supporting or empowering female officers? And if so, could you tell us about those?
What comes to mind is there are several in the RCMP and in policing in general. We have quite a few associations for women in policing. In Alberta, there is the Alberta Women in Public Safety, and I've worked in different provinces, and those associations are available. They're not limited to the RCMP. But in recent years, the RCMP has developed the Women's Indigenous Network, and Alberta RCMP also has the Women and Gender Equality Advisory Board, and there's also a national board. So those programs help for women to network and to develop and mentor each other. I find them very, very valuable. And I think also we have also improved in areas as far as like our, which is not necessarily a program, but like our dress and deportment. We now offer a uniform hijab for female members who require or want to wear one. And we're also coming out soon with a ribbon skirt where Indigenous female members can wear the ribbon skirt as part of their dress uniform. So all those programs, I think, are important and supporting and empowering female police officers.
And you mentioned it, but I imagine the RCMP has come a long way when it comes to not only gender diversity, but diversity as a whole. Is it fair to say the RCMP still has a long way to go?
We have come a long way. I've been in the RCMP for 26 years, and I certainly have seen a lot of change. When I started 26 years ago, I was often the only female working at my detachment, and I certainly didn't have any supervisors or managers who were female. That has greatly changed. And the face of the RCMP is changing. Do we have a long way to go? I think we still have certainly a lot of room to improve, but we are working on that. And even as recently, I was just in Ottawa last week to do at a workshop that was specifically to work on an anti-racism strategy and equity, diversity, and inclusion.
How do you think events like International Women's Day can help raise awareness about the importance of gender equality in law enforcement and society as a whole?
I think days like this are very important. I think it creates conversation and it creates, we're having this conversation. I've already had conversations in our office about the importance of International Women's Day and conversations about what has changed and what can still change. I think it gets a message out there even more specifically to younger women or to girls that they can enter into policing and can have a successful career. And even on a side note, just because it is International Women's Day, I woke up to having several messages on my phone from my own network of female colleagues and friends celebrating being a woman today.
That's great to hear. What advice would you give women and girls today on International Women's Day?
Reflecting back at the start of my career, and this is only a personal experience, but I think I really tried to just fit in. And I would say to women and girls today that you can be whatever you want to be, but also just be true to yourself and be who you are and be proud of being a woman and be proud to express yourself as a woman.
I imagine there have been some inspiring women in your life that have helped you along the way. Would you have a story or two you'd like to share about them?
Yes, I have been lucky enough to work with a lot of really wonderful women. As I said, I have a network of friends who are female police officers, and we all support each other. When I worked in Ottawa for a time, and I had the assistant commissioner who was in charge of my unit mentored me, and she gave us all advice at the time in saying that as women in policing, we should always support each other and always have each other's backs because we have that uniqueness of being a female and being a police officer. And that really rang true to me that we always have to be there for each other. And I pass that message on as much as I can after getting that from her.
Inspector Sarah Drummond from the Wood Buffalo RCMP, thank you so much for your time here today.
Okay, thank you very much.
We continue our International Women's Day celebrations next on Fort McMurray Matters.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Up next, our conversation with Lieutenant Governor of Alberta, Salma Lakhani, is next on Fort McMurray Matters International Women's Day Celebrations. Joining me on the phone here today is Nanase Tonda, the Executive Director of Girls Inc. of Northern Alberta. Nanase, how are you doing here today?
Not too bad, thanks. How are you?
Doing well. I guess my first question for you, Nanase, what made you want to work for Girls Inc. of Northern Alberta?
That will be a long, long answer, but to make it short, it's because I would like to see a world that is free from any violence against anything, anyone, and that really led to this whole mission statement around to inspire all girls to be strong, smart, and bold, and that would be a part of a world in which all girls can thrive and be agents of change for anything.
So what does a typical day look like for the Executive Director of Girls Inc. of Northern Alberta?
That really is another thing. Well, it's really busy. We will be making every possible effort to making sure that our all programs are 100% cost-free. And we are working extremely hard. We're a tiny but mighty team is what we have here. And all our programs are comprehensive. So all the programs are all strong, smart, and bold. Strong being around the mental health to the whole wellness being development. Smart being around critical thinking development as well as STEM. Economic literacy bit. Finally, the bold. That'll be the independence to any skills that would be required to navigate through this complicated world. So all the staff are believing in our cause and the why is what we drive to what we do. So,
what do you love most about your job?
I love to see how any step that we make towards diversity, equity, and inclusion would have an impact for the girls. And we see that through any sort of slight change in maybe a girl starting off super shy or even like not really sure what to expect. But after even a little bit of interaction with our staff or programming or even questioning as to what this is all about, and then girls will start thinking about what it is that makes them who they are. And it's that step towards or the part of the developmental process that be it to be part of, and that we are there for girls' development throughout this whole process. And in this, again, complicated world where barriers are thicker and taller for girls right now. Not even right now, it really has been. It's just that it's just been heightened and we are now recognizing that even more. So it's that sense of purpose and the impact that we get to see and to create together. We're not really working for the girls, we're doing this together. And it's that sense of being able to make your own decision, have control over it, which is a sense of empowerment. And that world can be a jargon to a lot of people, and that is something that we unpack in different levels. So that will be the purpose behind this work, and that what excites us the most.
You mentioned some of those barriers before, Nanase. In your opinion, what are some of those major challenges women face in Northern Alberta in particular, and how are they overcome?
Different ways of approaching it. Gender-based violence would affect anybody in anywhere, in any context. When it comes to girls and women in a specific context, again, the magnitude will be different depending on how complicated you're situated in an intersecting society. But in particular, the geographical barriers, structural, systemic barriers, this is a diverse society. So all the identities, what makes them who they are, would play a huge role. For instance, I am a woman of color. Though I am at the leadership position, I face this kind of challenges all the time as well. And because I have this power, I am trying to make this transformative change using this flower. So for I shouldn't be and I cannot be speaking of general sense as to what the berries are in any way, but from what we know from the growth what we're facing is that it is the say financial barrier. This is why our programs are 100% cost-free. Even though this context is considered higher income society, there are hidden poverty and the cost of inflation, everything is impacting everybody's life. So providing this program cost-free is a really a key factor for our operation. Geographically, as I mentioned, we're in the north. We don't even have a Costco within like 5 hours of proximity. That is another indicator there. And also the fact that there are a lot of cultural, ethnic, language background coexisting in the society, yet sometimes the differences are then be the cause, say, to leading to bullying and stuff. And that is a considered a form of violence. At Girls Inc., we are working against any form of violence, including such thing as bullying, cyberbullying to online safety. That is something that we are seeing increased, I guess, needs from even from these schools to our community partners as well when it comes to receiving requests to do our programming in.
What could you tell me about the Empower Women Inspiration Celebration coming up this weekend? I understand it's a pretty popular and fun event.
It really is. It has become a fun and popular event. This has been the last 5 years of development, actually. Well, the initiative itself started off at 2012, but then we brought this initiative to the next level together with Boucher 5 years ago because we know how much inspirational women are there in this community and because we know that together we can see what we can be. And each year we have been telling different stories. And I guess I shouldn't be revealing everything right now because it's part of our, you know, event happening tomorrow. But we have been developing this team. First year we shattered the glass ceiling so that we can break the barriers around stereotypes, any sort of constraints that women and girls are facing. The second year, put shattered pieces back together to make a mosaic. Third year, we then separated this each voices that was represented in the mosaic. And fourth year, that was last year, we put that all the pieces back again, voices together, so we can amplify each other's voices. And finally, this year is the Empower. We are inspiring, impacting, igniting all that themes and work that we did together so that we can move towards a diverse equity and equitable society there. So this event will be headlined by Vanessa Fulford, who is the Fort McMurray local who became top 17 astronaut candidate. We're super honored to have her. And she is driving right now as we speak from Cold Lake. And she's arriving this afternoon. And what's exciting this year is that we are, for the first time, launching Girls Empowerment Mini Gala just for the girls ages 9 to 15. About 100 girls are registered, and it's full sold-out events. Super, super excited so that girls get to interact with Major Vanessa Fulford and unpack the notion of empower ahead of time. And we'll do a similar activity together with 5 women of inspiration the next day. About 400 guests are expected to attend the event tomorrow.
Are tickets still available for that event?
Actually, we're all sold out.
Well, that's good news, isn't it?
That's a great news, actually. Yes, thanks.
International Women's Day today. What advice would you have for women and girls today?
That'll be coming from my personal background, too. And I guess if I could add to that very first of why it really drives me to this hall. I kept thinking about this few days. But one advice would be not just, I guess, believe in yourself, but the biggest empowering moment can lay in your darkest moment, I guess. And that darkness, the magnitude of which would be different every single time to every single person. But if you believe in the why, if you can find a why, I know it takes time and it's difficult and it's even like adult life, day-to-day is all about the process, but it's that journey, it's the messiness that brings that power in you, around you. So I guess finding that way that works for you, for beloved one around you, to embrace that messiness around it and how to overcome that. It's that journey that makes you stronger and who you are. And it can go on and go on and on, but to believe in yourself.
Well, Nanase Tonda, the executive director of Girls Inc. of Northern Alberta, thank you so much here for your time here today.
Thank you.
And we're back on Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
And we're back on Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Special guest joining us on the phone here today, Lieutenant Governor for Alberta, Salma Lakhani. Salma, how are you doing here today?
I'm doing well, Brian.
That's nice.
How about you?
That's nice to hear. I'm doing well as well, Your Honor. Thank you so much again for the time here today. Maybe just talk about what made you want to become the Lieutenant Governor of Alberta.
Okay, so I'd like to tell you that I actually had never thought that I wanted to become the Lieutenant Governor of Alberta. I don't know if you know, but this is not a position that you apply for. So with my story, you know, I came here over 46 years ago as a refugee. I never thought this would be possible or that I would even be considered for the position. So I was asked that my name was one of the names that had been suggested, and if I would let it stand, if I wanted it to stand, to be considered. And I must tell you, I was humbled. But I was very, very overwhelmed because I had never, ever thought that a person with a story like mine could become Lieutenant Governor of Alberta. So I did not choose to become a Lieutenant Governor. The role chose me, let's put it that way.
That's a phenomenal story, Your Honor. I can't imagine, the experience that must have been to, to get that support to become the Lieutenant Governor as well.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, sometimes, of course, I was so overwhelmed, Brian, that the lady at the other end who was asking if I wanted my name to stay, said to me, please take a couple of days, think about it. And then I thought about it. And when my husband came home, I said, I had this call, and of course I'm going to say no. And he said to me, why? Why are you going to say no? And I said, well, I don't think I can fulfill the mandate of this role. And he said, why not? You know, so one of the things I'd like to say to women right here is believe in yourselves and your abilities.
What does a typical day look like for the Lieutenant Governor of Alberta?
Well, there's no typical day. Every day is so different. So, for instance, yesterday I met with some young students at my office at the legislature. They come there to learn about our system of government. So I met with them. And then after that, I had a few meetings. And then in the evening, I attended the Business Leaders Award celebration. So every day is very, very different. And that's what makes this role really exciting and interesting, you know. But there's no typical day. Every day is different from any other day. Sometimes I'll be at huge award ceremonies that I'm hosting. Sometimes I'll be at community gatherings, like I was this morning to celebrate International Women's Day. with Wynn House Shelter, which is a shelter for women here in Edmonton. So every day is very, very different.
What do you love most about your role as Alberta's Lieutenant Governor?
You know, what I love most is the people, the people who make up our province. The gift of this job is that you get to meet people from all different walks of life, from many, many different parts of the world, people who come and make Canada their home. And that is what I love the most. And in my role, I keep one thing in mind. This role is about the people of Alberta. It's not about me. It's about the people. People should be able to approach me, should be able to talk to me. And I love people, and that's the part that I love the most.
Alberta is an exceptionally rare province. You, the Lieutenant Governor, Alberta's Chief Justice, the Premier, and the Leader of the Opposition are all women. That has to be a tremendous feat for Alberta.
Yes, it is. And I know we say, well, what does that say about Alberta and the women in Alberta, right? So one thing I'd like to point out is that where such appointments or elected officials are concerned, I don't think people necessarily look at gender. They don't say, well, we're going to appoint. It's always done on merit, and I hope it's done on merit. But one question I'd like to pose to you, Brian, is do we ever make this kind of a, do we ever say that when there are all men in these positions? We don't, right? It's a thing that's, it's something we talk about because now it's all women. So one thing it tells us is that women are just as capable as men in fulfilling the mandates of these different roles. And I hope we come to a day one day when where these things are the norm. They're not pointed out that, oh, it's all women. Because we do not talk about these things when it's all men in these positions, right? So there should be no ceilings for women either. And women can do these jobs just as well as men, if not better.
In your opinion, what are some of the major challenges that women in Alberta face, and how can they be overcome?
Well, I think, as I mentioned earlier, we still have glass ceilings for women. We don't have gender equity still in Alberta and in other parts of Canada. So we have to work hard towards that. We have to make sure that women are at the table where decisions are made. And I think women need to believe in themselves and need to show that they are capable of sitting around the table and become decision makers and policy makers. And I have to say, we're well on our way to doing that. And what I'd like to say to the women here is believe in yourself. And, you know, we can also be good leaders and try and make Alberta the province that we can be very, very proud of. Okay.
International Women's Day often highlights the achievements of women throughout history. Are there any particular women from Alberta whose contributions you believe deserve more recognition or celebration?
You know, there are many, many women in Alberta who deserve recognition and celebration, and I don't like to pick out one, but I have to tell you that I spent a fair bit of time with my predecessor, the late Honorable Lois Ho, the 15th Lieutenant Governor of Alberta. And to me, when I was spending time with her, when she was the Lieutenant Governor, I never, ever thought in my wildest dreams that one day I would be following in her footsteps. But she was an icon. She was an amazing, amazing woman. She was very humble, but she was the people's leader. She spoke out for people. She spoke out on issues that mattered to people. But she was so approachable. She was so genuine. She was so warm. And, you know, in this role, Brian, I meet amazing women every day. These are ordinary women doing extraordinary things in our province to move our province forward. I remember meeting this 94-year-old woman. She was a volunteer. She was volunteering where she lived, looking after younger people in the facility she lived in. And I thought, my gosh, look at this. So there are amazing Albertans who inspire me every single day. Amazing women, ordinary women doing extraordinary things. And I think they need to be celebrated and recognized every day.
What advice do you have for Alberta's women and girls today on International Women's Day?
Well, look, I'd like to say that women have changed the world, are continuing to change the world, and will still be changing the world in remarkable and profound ways. So I want to ask all the women in Alberta to believe in themselves, to never let people tell them that you are not enough because you are a woman, because that's simply not true. So we have to believe in ourselves, and we have to support one another on this journey. And that's my advice to women on International Women's Day, that don't limit yourself. Everybody has different potential and abilities. Whether you're doing work at the grassroots or at the highest level, we all have something to contribute to making our world a better place for everyone.
You mentioned the previous Lieutenant Governor that is maybe someone that inspired you, but I imagine there's some other inspiring women in your life. Would you have a story or two you'd like to share about them?
Yes, I'd like to share my mother's story. My mother was born in Africa, in the same country that I was born in Uganda. But when she was 2.5 years old, she lost her own mother. So she grew up without a mother. And, you know, at that young age or at any age, that is a very profound loss. But my mother was a very, very resilient woman. She went through hard times. She came from very humble beginnings, but she really was a wonderful lady. She worked hard all her life, and those are the values of resilience and being brave that she has passed on to me. And she's not with us any longer, but she always taught me to believe in myself, to do whatever I do with great humility, and, just never believe that there are ceilings for us women. So I think for me growing up, my mother was an incredible role model just because she had a very hard life, but she came out very well at the end. She got educated in spite of going through all these ups and downs, and I still remember the teachings and the love and affection of my mother.
Her Honor, Salma Lakhani, the Lieutenant Governor of Alberta, thank you so much for the time today. Anything else you'd like to add today?
No, I'd like to wish everyone a very happy International Women's Day. And I'd like to say that the conversations and the work that women do should not end after March the 8th. Voices of women and their contributions and what they're doing should be celebrated and talked about and acted upon every single day of the year. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the time today, the Lieutenant Governor of Alberta, Salma Lakhani.
Thank you, Brian.
That was our show for today. A big thank you to my guests for joining the show. That wraps up a full week of highlighting and celebrating women in the Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo region, as well as throughout Alberta. Next week, we chat with Mayor Sandy Bowman about a wide range of topics. That's coming up on Monday. Thank you for listening to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Ryan McNally. Have a good day.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this or any past episodes? Download the podcast at play1037.ca. Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.